Welcome, friends, to the Generations Broadcast. Kevin Swanson, your host, with you today. And today we're getting back to an issue that is near and dear to this ministry, and that is every Christian family should be involved in ministry. Every family serves, and as a Christian family, we want to, of course, first integrate the family in a heavily, highly disintegrated age. Families have been so much segregated, but God calls us to be families and to raise our children in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord, and to be involved in family ministry. And we think of the household of Stephanus that was addicted to the ministry of the saints. So, Christian families, what's your ministry? How do you serve the saints? That's the question for every Christian family. Think about Hebrews chapter 13. Let brotherly love continue. Do not forget to entertain strangers, for by so doing, some have unwittingly entertained angels. So we are in the stranger entertaining business, or rather the angel entertaining business. That's what Christians do. Matthew chapter 25, at the final judgment, our Lord Jesus Christ also approaches the sheep and the goats with this one thing. How did you provide hospitality for my brothers and sisters? So that's the question that seems to be on the mind of our Lord at the final judgment. And therefore, this issue is important and near and dear to the hearts of every one of Jesus' brothers and sisters. He says, "For I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in." You see, this is core when it comes to the Christian life. This is absolutely core when it comes to the Christian family. Romans 12:13, share with the Lord's people who are in need, practice hospitality. And 1 Peter 4:9, offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. And we have more opportunities today to entertain strangers than we've ever had, because the world is really closing in on us. We have so much more of an opportunity to reach nations around the world by way of transportation, something we didn't experience in the 1960s, 70s, and 80s. So we have far more opportunities to integrate with our brothers and sisters around the world. In fact, to the point at which now I think we are beyond the denominational church in this age. We are on to what I call the international church. We are far, far beyond the denominational boundaries set by previous centuries. No, we're not in the age of the denominational church. This is the age of the international church, in which the brothers and sisters from around the world will edify one another, and we share gifts with others from other states and other nations around the world. So are you traveling to Madagascar? Stay with a Christian family. Are you staying in Papua New Guinea? You should be with a Christian family in Papua New Guinea. Are you off to Russia, Mongolia, California, Las Vegas, China, Australia, New Zealand, Argentina, Cape Verde? How about Mali or the Fiji Islands or Singapore or Iran or Poland? All of these nations have families that have opened up their homes to a candle in the window. And of course, we've discussed candle in the window many times on this program since the beginning of that project on the part of the Bowen family. Teresa Bowen and the Bowen family have had a heart for hospitality from the beginning, and this family has formed one of the most key Christian family ministries available to thousands of families around the world. It's called acandleinthewindow.com. My family has been part of it. My children have traveled the world and have had access to this network of Christian families around the world. It's, again, called CandleInTheWindow.com, and Teresa Bowen now joins us again on the Generations Broadcast. Welcome, Teresa. It's good to have you with us again.
Thank you, Kevin. I just echo everything you say.
Well, you know, Teresa, this was such a great concept. I can remember when I was excited about the idea, I didn't realize that anybody else was excited about the idea until I came upon you and your family and the vision that the Lord had given to you. How many years ago was that when you got this program started?
We actually launched in the fall of 2011, so it's been a little more than 7 years, and we had thought about doing something like this for many years before that, even actually before the internet became so prevalent. We had been on a number of missionary rosters, hospitality rosters, and just had loved it. And we thought, I wish there was something like this for the church at large. And just in God's timing, we met up with a person that was able to take our vision, help us program a website, and started off with one family in the fall of 2016, and now there's more than 2,500 families participating. Wow. And it's going strong.
That's beautiful. That's beautiful. You know, there are a ton of benefits to families that engage in hospitality. This mm-hmm. is what Christian families should be doing. But how do you get your children involved? And, you know, what are the benefits for your children involved in entertaining strangers?
Mm-hmm. Well, we raised our children well before we launched Candle in the Window. And that's one of the reasons we did, mm-hmm. because it was such a blessing to do that.
Yeah.
Our kids grew up with company, and I think many, many benefits. A, the world does not revolve around us. B, we have sat at our very own kitchen table and heard the stories of the missionary that welcomed Jim Elliot into the jungle. We've heard of missionaries who they were supposed to catch a boat as a young man, and Grandpa died. They missed the boat. That boat was sank by Germans during World War II. He grew up and went back to Germany and planted a Bible school. We've heard of a person who was a shepherd in Africa, and he daydreamed, and he kept losing the sheep. And I just remember him sitting across from my little children saying, "I was a very bad shepherd." And so as punishment, his dad sent him to school and gave the shepherding to his brother. Well, long story short, he ended up in the United States, got his education, went to seminary, went back, and has been a prolific church planter. My kids got connected to those people. And all of my children are walking with the Lord today, and they are opening up their homes in hospitality, and it's just, I cannot encourage families enough, make mm-hmm. time for this.
I think it's been a huge benefit to our children as well. They are walking with the Lord, and they're seeking ministry all around the world. My daughters have been to Uganda and Nepal, and they've worked orphanages. You know, I think about mm-hmm. just now I was jotting down the nations that I can remember we have received Christian brothers and sisters from these places: Zambia, Nepal,
wow.
Tibet, Uganda,
mm-hmm.
China,
mm-hmm.
Japan, mm-hmm. Mexico, Brazil, New Zealand, Australia, Rwanda, you know, the list goes on. I'm sure there's more than that.
What heaven is going to be like.
Amen, sister. Amen. Every tribe
and we've even had people suggest to us, well, why don't you just limit this? This is a great homeschool ministry. This is a great North American ministry. And we're like, you know what? The church involves people of all ages
mm-hmm.
and people from all different backgrounds. As long as we share the non-negotiable of the Lord Jesus Christ, we want A Candle in the Window to be a little taste of heaven. You know, and when you start traveling all around the world, everybody doesn't worship exactly the same, or they might not do things exactly the way your family does them. But we worship the same Lord. And as long as we can agree on those non-negotiables, I just think it's a little taste of heaven.
Mm.
So,
briefly, give us a sense for how to be a good host. Can you give us just the 3 to 4 basic items?
Mm-hmm.
I know a lot of people want to be the Martha Stewart. You know, they want to have the perfect home up front, but of course that's not it. But there's something to Christian hospitality where, you know,
right.
we want to show the love of Christ. What are the basics
right.
here?
Well, the first thing I'd say is don't wait until everything's perfect before you start.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a book by Rosaria Butterfield that's out right now called The Gospel Comes with a House Key that I'm reading. It's just a beautiful picture of hospitality. A Candle in the Window is for Christian households, so there is a little bit different. But, of course, we encourage people to practice hospitality to all their neighbors. But getting back to how to be a good host, one, don't wait for things to be perfect.
Mm-hmm.
Two, with that said, you do want the people to feel like they're special and you're excited that they're there. And you don't have to have a Martha Stewart. That's entertaining. That's not hospitality. everything doesn't have to be perfect, but we can all, through just the spirit that we exude when people come to our door, where everybody stops and we go and we greet them and we share what we have. Don't think you have to go out and have like this 8-course dinner when somebody's coming. Just share what you have. Make it special. If you are not in a position to offer overnight, just sign up and say you'll offer dinners if somebody asks. If you do offer overnight, you just want to make sure things are clean. Your bathroom is clean and you have, just fresh, clean sheets on the bed and just those little things that say, you know what, you matter to God, and because of that, you matter to me. And that's why I want things to be special. So there's that tension between not waiting for things to be perfect or thinking that you don't have a big enough house or you don't have enough room. And you do want to be able to make people feel like they're welcome and that you've made an effort to get ready for them. And if you're in a situation that you can't necessarily host 15 people, be honest about that. But you can host 2 mm-hmm. or 1. Right. You know what I'm getting at?
Yeah, I know what you're getting at. You start out with 1 or 2. I think we did early on, and then we bought a big house, and we've got an extra 13 beds downstairs and 2 full bathrooms, and so we can sort of mass produce our mm-hmm. guests through the house.
Yeah, we use what God has given us for his purposes. Precisely. I think that's the principle.
Precisely. And what's amazing to me is I've been in so many people's homes around the world, and they've been in my home. And what's amazing to me is the spiritual gifts that we wind up trading off one with another, because, the Holy Spirit has ministered to all of us differently. And, mm-hmm. and so when we come into contact with our brothers and sisters from Zambia or Nepal or Tibet or Uganda or Japan or Australia, what happens is they start to share something with us, and it's just something just never occurred. Some lesson, some aspect of the word that they share with us, something of their experience, something of their testimony. And it's amazingly encouraging to receive that. And then we have something that we can share with them. And then we gather around the piano and we sing some hymns together. We pray together. And sometimes it's been amazing. We've only had, maybe 1 or 2 nights, together, but, there's some crying and there's some, mm-hmm. sense of loss as we're parting, a day or two later. It's amazing, how quickly those relationships form and how much we appreciate each other.
There's something special that happens when you're in your home.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's right. Exactly. These are reasons why we need to see more of this. And how can people get involved with A Candle in the Window, Teresa? Just give us, the basics.
Mm-hmm. It's all taken care of online. It's an online network for Christian households. So they would just go to acandleinthewindow.com. Make sure you put that A in there. And then the homepage will pop up. And there's a little, you can do some reading. There's About Us that tells a little bit more about the ministry. And when you join, you have access to the membership directory. Now, anybody can go on and take a look at our map and see the public directory, but only members can join, and that's for their privacy. Once you are a member, and let's say you're going to Dallas, you would go to the map. You would look at all the members in that area, click on their icons, and write their member numbers down. And then you can go into the member directory, pull up that member, read their profile, and if it looks like they offer, what you need, it might be a good fit, you click send a request up at the top, and that request, that first request, goes through us. And then once they reply, it's private between the two of you, but only a member can give out their own street address, their own last name. You're just listed by your first name and your city. Even those icons are not their true exact street address. It's nearby, but that's basically how it works in a nutshell. And then you set up that visit, and then hopefully
How are the members received, Teresa? How do you, I guess they apply, right?
They apply. We don't do, I just want to be honest, we don't do police checks on on everybody. You know, we'd be similar to like an Airbnb. But we worked with a Christian attorney to design a profile that people fill out that's fairly extensive. And we feel like you can get a fairly good idea of a person from reading their profile as far as their background, tell us about your family, education background, religious or spiritual background, church background, what's unique about your family. And from there, the email process allows you to ask more questions. But what we do when we get that initial request, that's where we review that. There's no way anybody but the Holy Spirit can know, you know, whether a person is a genuine believer. But we do, you know, we do look for the key components. And I told you earlier before we went on the air, we're about to launch a rebrand this summer and just add like a statement of faith that, you know, anybody within the body of Christ, the non-negotiables of Christ and salvation, just as we grow moving forward, just adding that. But we preview those, and once they are joined and registered as a member, then other members would have access to them.
Teresa, give us just a sense of what has happened over the last 7 or so years that the ministry has been operating. What are the stories of how this thing snowballs into other ministries or longer-term relationships?
Wow. I could go on and on. But a couple of unexpected blessings I can just tell you right off the bat. There's been 2 weddings, either directly or indirectly, tied back to Candle in the Window. One family sent us a picture, and the very first family they opened their home up to, their first request they got, family came and stayed with them, and their kids just hit it off.
Wow.
And they got married this past January. And so
this isn't exactly a dating site. This isn't exactly a dating site.
I want to make clear, we're not a dating site, and we're not for homeless people that just want to move from house to house. We are a travel network. But God has chosen to use those introductions for His purposes, and I'm not going to get in the way of that. And then just on a personal note, our family was in a transition in ministry, and right in the middle of that, God sent us a request from some missionaries who came, and during the course of their stay with us, introduced us to the ministry that they were doing, and they just said, "We think you guys would be really good at this, and would you consider it?" And 6 months later, we ended up joining that ministry. So we're going to be working with Life Impact, which does retreats for missionaries, Christian workers, and pastors. So again, God led us to a new ministry based on something that He had done in the past. So just exciting stories. There was a family in Switzerland. I remember the very first year they contacted us, and they were the only one of 2 homeschooling families that they knew. And then the other one moved away, and they were feeling pretty lonely. They joined Candle in the Window, and a family from Missouri went to Europe and stayed with them. And this family just clicked, so much so that the Swiss family ended up coming to the United States then and staying with this family in Missouri. And during that tour, when they were here, we got to meet them as well. And just, God just unites people through Christ. You know, we had very little in common, but when we were standing looking at our bookshelf and talking about the Lord, I mean, I felt as close to them as anyone in my sphere right here. And it's just the bond in the Lord.
So. It's extraordinary how quickly we warm up to each other. I've seen this so many times in my travel and in the hospitality opportunities that we've had out here in Colorado. So the scriptures really do give us this vision for hospitality. I don't think this program needs to give us the vision. Jesus has already given us the vision. This should be just natural. It should be something that flows. It should be something that is just the warp and the woof of the Christian life. But what acandleinthewindow.com does for us is provide something of a vehicle for implementing this amazing vision and also accommodating the incredible internationalization of the church that's going on right now. I'm saying, friends, it's going on right now. The last 5 to 6 years, we have seen an amazing explosion of the internationalization of the church and the sharing of gifts amongst the international churches. And so acandleinthewindow.com is just a means to accommodate something that's already going on in the kingdom of God. And I'm amazed at what a wonderful mechanism this has been already. And I think it's just going to explode in the next 5 to 10 years. So, friends, it's just a modest application fee to be involved with A Candle in the Window, and I'd encourage y'all to check it out at acandleinthewindow.com. That's acandleinthewindow.com. Teresa, thanks again for joining us, and we're excited about what's going to happen in the next 10 years as you guys continue this hospitality ministry.
We are too. God is faithful. Thank you so much, Kevin. We love your ministry. We appreciate you getting our word out.
This is Kevin Swanson inviting you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.